Welcome to Bravo Breakdowns, your podcast study guide for reality TV. Every Thursday, we cover an entire season of brawling, boozing, and romance, and skip all the boring parts where everyone is getting along. Whether you've never seen an episode or you're a Bravo scholar, we're here to break it down for you.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
I will say I'm excited about, I feel like I might have fallen off with Vanderpump Rules this season, but I'm not like completely done, but like I've been half watching the episodes after like we really peaked with Sheena weeping about Dancing with the Stars. But yeah. I'm stoked about the Valley.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think
I'm excited.
Really, truly dark, but like fun, because it's home ownership is important for people to see on television.
Representation, yeah. No more renting, no more apartments with popcorn ceilings. It actually took me four times to watch it.
Oh my god!
But then the fourth time, I was like, no, I'm on board.
Yeah, Jesse is such a
prick. Well, they're separated now.
Ooh, I know. I like. So you're giving up vaping and you're trading it in for the Valley. Like that will be your vice.
Yes, it's a V.
A V, v for a vendetta.
V. Yeah, V for a V. Yeah, I'm sad though because I miss like my head shop is like close to my house. Mm-hmm. I that's like my Cheers. Like they all know me there, and they're like, "Hey, Lauren, like you're special."
Like, they're not like you're too old to be here.
No, I mean, well, it's like the good thing about this vape shop is it's mostly cigarettes. Mm. So there's mostly old like old vets. Yeah.
Yeah.
They sell them real cheap.
You say old vets? Like
not veterinarians, although it is.
I mean, veterans. Like, yeah. So you're going salute your shorts.
Yes, I bow to them as I enter. Thank you for your service. I also think that I think that they are laundering money. Through this type shop, because like every time I'm there, there's more weird swag that like no one buys. Like it's like the Venice Board like t-shirts, like Family Guy t-shirts, and like like big inflatable joints all over the place. There's just like tons of like shitty merch and more. Like they're running, like it's everywhere, and I'm like, they're definitely, this is a money laundry.
There's running game. I don't think I've been in a vape shop.
Oh, they're the best. You should just go in there just to take it all in.
I don't need to. Vaping freaks me out. It kills all the kids.
I don't love the culture of like a guy with gauged ears telling you about different Delta 8s.
I don't consider that culture. And like, you know what I consider culture. So if I even like put my nose up to that, then that's really bad.
I feel like they need a vape shop reality TV show. I would watch the shit out of that.
I think when Bella Hadid quit vaping, like, the culture stopped with vaping with that.
Yeah, she's a real tastemaker. That's also when we started supporting Palestine, is when she...
When she came out publicly and was like, remember how I'm Palestinian? And we were like...
That really puts a beautiful remade face to the cost.
God, she like lives here now. Did you know she like bought a house in Fort Worth and is like in a serious relationship with a rodeo guy? But
what? Oh my god, rodeo boys are all the rage.
Is that what they're called? I think a bull rider or horse rider.
A toreador.
He is not that, but he does wear Wranglers. And I did read about it in the Daily Mail, but it was also on Page Six and other publications that you do not like.
Well, I think it's like, I think it is the new status symbol. Like, remember when Caroline Stanberry and Diana Jenkins, they all had a young gay husband. I think now, like, with Kristen Cavallari with a Montana boy. Like, I think now it's like
a country boy.
A young country boy.
Yeah. She, like, got sober. She bought a house in Fort Worth. She, like, rides horses with this guy, and she doesn't vape. So that's good for her. I think in a way, as like, get as far away from your mother as possible and yeah. get away from Gigi, who is dating Bradley Cooper, which I could spill some tea on Bradley if I needed to.
Oh my gosh. Well, the blind items, of course.
Well, he's not.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what he is, but I will say if anybody ever wants to read about his divorce from Jennifer Esposito, they really need to be doing that.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know this. I love Jennifer Esposito. You know, she's on screenwriting Twitter, like, which is like real like nerds who are like, all right, guys, today we're going to write, like, send me your pages. And it's like all of these like random nerds and like recent UCLA grads and like Jennifer Esposito.
Yeah, because
Twitter community.
Because Bradley fucked her up so bad.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, something happened for her to be part of screenwriting Twitter.
Yeah. Like something. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm going to just pull it up now. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Let's get into it.
Also, because we have to go through season 9 of
we're procrastinating. Vanderpump,
and I really don't. How do you spell Esposito?
Esposito.
Divorce.
Wow. Bradley. That's like a beautifully spelled name. It rhymes so well. Esposito.
Okay. She filed for divorce after 4 months of being married to Bradley Cooper.
Ooh, woof.
He touched on what happened in a 2011 interview with Howard Stern and just said that he failed her. So allegedly she found him in bed with another person who was not a woman.
Yeah. I mean, adds up to the rumors.
Also, like, he might have not been sober at this time. I know he's like a sober person now, so maybe mm-hmm. it was like he wasn't.
It's a Kiefer Sutherland thing where he stays in the closet really good, but then when he relapses, you see him at all the gay bars in the West Village. Maybe. And
I don't think that Bradley Cooper is gay. I think he's madly in love with Gigi Hadid.
Right. Just as he was madly in love with Irina Shayk and
madly in love with Leonard Bernstein.
Yes, that was a real, like, I'm what? Sorry, that's a real, like, Kevin Spacey and Across the Sea. Like, he really has a lot of, like, vanity projects where he's, like, obsessed with handsome musicians of the past.
Can we just give him an Oscar so I don't have to be bombarded with his bullshit every, like, from September to, like, November? My year, that part of my year is just Bradley Cooper trying to get an Oscar, and I'm done.
He's the new Leo.
It's too much. Like,
but they like him more than Leo. Like, Maestro wasn't that good, and they all
well, and it's like
came for it.
I don't need to know that you practiced holding a stick for 6 years.
Yeah, and you know that Cate Blanchett, like, master performance in Tar, and you know she probably just like picked it up and like did it. You know, she probably learned her German phonetically, and she was way better.
Okay.
Way better actor.
Well, we disagree on Tar, but.
Ugh, I love Tar. It changed my fashion and my parenting.
Yikes. But look what happens in that movie. I don't know. It's like, oh, there's all these things that are being alluded to. And it's like, why is she in? Okay. It's like, get out of here. Stop yelling at these Juilliard kids.
I didn't love that scene. I'll give you that. I didn't love that scene.
Leave the kids alone, Tar. Be good to your wife. I don't know what you've done, but it's being alluded to not so good things. And you sound like Elizabeth Holmes. And that's
Well, no, that is all the point. You got it. You just didn't like it. But
also,
I loved it. Why
are we talking about a movie from last year when we only talk about movies from the 1920s? But why were the opening credits for the movie Tar 5,000 years long?
Because credits are always that long, but they showed them at the beginning of the movie because it's a movie about labor.
Okay, well, you know I'm a labor
Todd
girl.
Fields, you know, I'm a, Fields, if you're you know listening, I'm a labor I love girl. You.
I feel like every opening credit like should be just like Groundhog Day. Like, they got it right in that movie. It's a fun song. We get it. We see Stephen Tobolowsky's name. We're good.
Yeah, we should always be seeing Stephen Tobolowsky's name in credit.
Where is he?
Fair. What? Okay. Red alert, Stephen Tobolowsky.
Where are
Does
you?
Someone oh, have eyes on
we
Stephen.
We need eyes on him.
He needs a TikTok account.
We know where Kate is now.
Where is Stephen?
Where, okay. Where is he? Okay, because Jason and I, we talk about people in Hollywood that look the same age every single day. No matter mm-hmm. what you see them in, even if it's mm-hmm. like 40 years later, like he's one of those. Like,
yes,
he's always been 45.
Forever, Stephen. Jane Lynch is one.
Jane Lynch. Yeah, she's always been 45.
Always 45. Forever 45, which is a place I would love to shop.
Forever 45. Yeah, it sounds like, comfortable.
Yeah. And like and Taylor Loft is.
Yeah, no. Like I went forever, like Forever 45. It's like, oh, like these pants are stretchy and. You yeah. Just, like, yeah, the clothes look like maybe I'm going through a divorce.
Yeah, the blouses cover like the upper arm fat you're starting to get is your bingo wings. Like, yeah.
And it's not really a blouse. Yeah. It's definitely not a blouse.
No, no. It's shirt.
It's shirt.
Okay, let's do it.
No.
Yes. Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
Hi, I'm Michelle Baber. And
today
is the best day. That's how I feel about this season.
We are covering season 9 of Vanderpump Rules. And I think it has its bright points. Like, you can watch it while you're doing laundry or falling asleep. You can, like, you know, clean different rooms and come back and you haven't missed anything. Like, I think there's some good stuff about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, or you can do what I did when I was rewatching this season, which was call my psychiatrist and be like, I think I need to up my dosage of my antidepressant. True story, it happened and I am feeling better.
Oh, good. I'm glad. So, because of the season.
I know. I'm not saying it's because of how bad this season is, but I didn't feel great. And, you know, I just needed to acknowledge how I was feeling and
no, get it did make me feel a sense of, like, even like through, like, after season 7, I've felt a sense of impending doom.
Ugh.
Like, knowing, you know, where we were and. Where we've come. But it's okay.
Yeah.
It's darkest before the dawn. We have season 10 coming up and we can relive all of, you know.
Scandoval.
The feelings of Scandoval coming out and how, you know, happy and bright the world was.
I don't give a fuck about Raquel. Yeah. But that didn't happen this season.
No, it didn't. What did happen was Kristen, Stassi, Jax, Brett, other Brett, Dana, and Danica are all gone. Mm-hmm. The show has no idea what it's going to do.
Yeah, I called it the Red Wedding.
Yes.
Everybody's head got chopped off.
Yep. And the strange choice they decide to make is, like, not really addressing this, even though there's so much drama. Like, we talked about last episode about people getting fired for racism, like, Brittany leaving in protest of Jax, you know, just, like, oh, Danica, we find out this season, left because, actually, like, they realized she was great TV, but Sheena cut her out of the cast. But we don't really get into any of that, which I think was a big mistake.
The biggest mistake, and I'm going to go on the record here, so everybody hold on to your butt. The biggest mistake with this season was I have no idea why Charlie was still on the cast.
Yeah, I get it. I kind of get it, where they were like, okay, she actually made some real connections with people. Like, she is like a firecracker. She's the only one who will, like, come back at Lala. I think Charlie's big mistake was she got a boyfriend. Like, she could have been with Tom Schwartz right now. Like, she, you know, they could pass her around, you know, the usual,
pass
like,
her around.
The usual progression of you make out with Peter, you date someone in main cast, like, you really have to marry into the cast mm-hmm. to really fit in. And she got a boyfriend. And so it was like, game over, you know, like, she could have cheated with James, but she kind of missed a lot of opportunities by choosing Dignity there. But.
Sorry. Okay. Well, I'll follow along on our outline now. Sorry.
Oh, no, no. It's we'll get the other. The thing I thought you were going to say, because you mentioned it last episode, was a big mistake about this season was filling it with hijinks and shenanigans. Here's a list in no particular order of 10 of the bleakest hijinks that the cast gets into the season. Okay, two pickleball games. A bet that Raquel loses, so she has to say something sexual while giving a toast. A modeling contest.
Oh my god.
A feet picture fundraiser. A Raquel themed cast version of Coachella with no people and no music.
I give that 12 scoops.
Good, Raquel.
Thanks.
Tom Schwartz handing Lisa Vanderpump a vial of his cum.
Sticky.
I like that you did the Lisa pause that she, they always leave in while she's thinking of how she's going to respond. Okay. A poker night with Rand and Jesse Metcalf.
No.
Yeah. Three cocktail tasting gatherings for Schwartz and Sandys.
I can't even get through this list anymore.
I know. It's rough. It's rough. Wait, I just want the last one, which was my least favorite. Two major season-long storylines of Raquel being scared of toasts and Charlie being scared of pesto.
Not toast, like what you put in a toaster, but just scared to speak amongst her closest friends and raise a glass and say, like, cheers.
Cheers. I'm glad that we're here. Thanks, you guys, for coming. Have a great night.
And it's like, how did this Bambi-eyed bitch even get on the show? It's in the theme song. Raise your glasses high. This one's for you tonight. She could have just repeated that.
Yeah, she could have gone to lyrics.com and just printed it out.
Oh, my God. And she's, like, having, like, anxiety attacks about, like,
serious self-worth issues. She's like, why does she like being on TV? That is always my thing with Rachel. Like, why are you on TV if you hate it so much?
Why,
like,
were you in pageants? She tries explaining being in pageants to help her with her, like, problem with public speaking and giving toasts. But I don't even do you consider giving a toast public speaking, really?
No. Okay. I mean, like, maybe if you're giving, like, the toast at your, like, sister's wedding.
Yeah.
Because then you, like, have to do a speech and it has to be moving and, like, not too personal. Like, you can't offend anyone because, like, you know, your grandparents are there. Like, right. Then it's like, oh, okay, there's a lot to balance. But just being like, guys, this has been such a fun trip to Mexico. I love you. Cheers. That's not public speaking.
Yeah, it's like she literally does the least. It's like, you know, Jax fucks Faith, and it's a great storyline. Sorry about that, Brittany. Jax gets 45 different nose jobs. Great storyline. Stassi, always great storyline. Like, you know, Ariana, Tom, like, everyone, Kristen, everyone's contributed. Even this bad season, Tom giving a vial of cum to Lisa, that's funny. But, like, Raquel not being able to, like, give a toast to three people in the room, bizarre.
I mean, like, why couldn't they could give us, like, some, you know, what Robin RIP and Juan failed to, and, like, get into maybe how she feels getting engaged to a guy who cheated on her a bunch. That could have been a storyline. But
when you said Robin, I don't know why I was thinking of Robin Thicke.
Ugh.
I know.
Blurred lines between the Robins.
What a horrible song that was. What a moment.
What a moment in time. But it gave us Miley's bad girl phase, which I'll know, be forever grateful
for. I know.
For.
That was an iconic VMA performance.
Okay, Michelle, we have to stop. We have to stop procrastinating. We have to get
I
into
know.
It.
Okay, I'm there. Okay, okay.
Okay. Okay.
Raquel.
Okay. Yes. So let's start with, let's actually start with Lala and Sheena's storyline.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Their mamas.
So, their mamas. That was also a bizarre thing, since there was like, because of pandemic, it was like a year and a half since we last saw them at the reunion. So it's like all of a sudden, again, we just dropped into what's happening. Sheena has a baby with a guy named Brock from Australia. Lala is, well, we did know she was getting divorced, but like, you know, oh no, she's not divorced yet.
Yeah. Yeah. They were just
end of this season.
Yeah, because their wedding kept getting delayed because of COVID. Luckily, they never got married.
Thank God. Well, they do have a kid together now. Like, suddenly, so much time has passed that they both, we didn't even know they were pregnant. And they both just have babies. And the show's like, yeah, they've got babies. You guys know that.
We're they've
like,
got what? Babies and they've got houses. And their babies hang out. Summer and...
Ocean. Summer, Moon, and Ocean. And so Sheena has a baby with an Australian guy, hunk of beefcake named Brock.
Mm-hmm.
He is a feral Australian, if you guys are familiar with that kind. The kind that, like, their mating is, like, lifting girls up in the air a lot. And he's got, like, a long ponytail. It's like Dundee vibes.
A Crocodile Dundee vibes.
Yes. Sheena, we find that Sheena also had a miscarriage.
Yeah.
Very sad. Trigger warning miscarriage. She had a panic attack after. She called Lala and they talked. And she was like, Lala was like, do you want to come over? And Sheena said, no, I want to be alone. And Sheena was furious. She like talked a lot of shit about her on her podcast. She said she didn't come over because she was too busy like going to dinner with Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly, who, of course, Lala's friends with them. And so Lala is furious because apparently some of Sheena's fans, messaged her and said that they wished that she would miscarry her baby, which is, of course, awful, like freak behavior. But like, I feel like Sheena didn't like send them to say that. But also Sheena is in the wrong, too, because she shouldn't have criticized Lala, like she was clearly like projecting on Lala her grief.
Yeah.
It's a stupid fight they make up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another dumb podcast fight that happened before the season. Lala said that she and Ariana are not really friends, and then like Ariana gets very drunk at a party and mocks her and is like, nah, 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 I'm Lala. And it's kind of the loosest, dorkiest we've ever seen Ariana
on the
show.
One where she was like, Ariana was like, I was born fucking cool and everybody fucking knows it.
Yes, yes. It's like the messiest we've ever seen her. And I did find it endearing how like dorky and drunk she was.
Yeah. And also just like being like drunk and like saying something like that to a completely sober person is a wild choice.
Yeah, yeah.
I was born fucking cool and everybody fucking knows that.
Yeah,
okay.
That Ariana confidence.
Mm.
We are we're starting to see, like, in my opinion, the bad production choices here that are also playing out in season 11, where it's like, okay, well, we know the cast is famous and rich because they've got houses now. So like, let's talk about stuff that drama that happens like in, you know, the off season with podcasts. But it's like, well, anyone who listens, they already know it. And anyone who doesn't listen, we don't give a fuck. So it's kind of, you're kind of like splitting the difference and no one's getting what they want.
Right.
But we get into some real drama, of course, given to us by, again, Sheena and Lala, who I think are the stars of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Lala finds out that Brock, Sheena's fiance, or soon-to-be fiance, has a family in Australia that he hasn't seen in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Lala is disturbed by this, Sheena and Brock try to assuage her and, try to keep it off camera. And the way that they try to calm Lala down and be like, no, it's not that bad. I the only reason I'm not allowed to see them is because I have a domestic violence charge.
Mm-hmm.
So then, of course, Lala is even more freaked out, as are we. It's crazy to me that this was like the only drama we got, so I'm grateful for it. But it's insane to me that Sheena did not think this would come out on the season. Like,
yeah, I mean, maybe she was just really hoping it wasn't going to come out in this, or just that she defends him. It's very troubling to me. I mean, it's one thing to you know, not have a relationship with your kids. But then when you find out why, it's really
scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't even, honestly, I don't have a joke about this. Like, this is really just kind of
troubling.
Yeah. And that nobody on the cast except for Lala seems upset by this at all. And it is like, no, you have a kid with this person. And I mean, like, Randall's got his own shit, and we're going to get into that too. But
yeah. But at the time, they were like, Randall, it might be rumors. Whereas this is like stuff that Brock
is empirically stating. And there's a point in the show this season where he goes up to Lisa when she has everybody over at her house to eat dinner because all of the restaurants are closed still. They taste cocktails. But anyway.
Brock sits down with Lisa to try to like kiss the ring and be like, look, it's not that bad. He's like, I slapped her
and I feel bad about it. And then, you know, Lisa's horrified, but then like, you know, like, just take care of Sheena. It's like,
Yeah, but she's like, not, and he's like, and then I, you know, they did the restraining order, but it was like 3 years after the slap. And then I went to America because I want my kids to have a better life because I have a dream. And then she's like, answer me one question. How much do you love our girl?
Oh, my God. The slap.
The slap heard around the world. Mm. Yeah. Have you seen that sketch of parodying that TV show, The Slap, where, you know, the TV show's the famous miniseries where it's like a guy slaps a kid that isn't his.
Yeah, no, and, I just saw the slap.
And then, yeah, and then like he just goes slaps everyone at the party and the police come and he slaps them. And it's one of the best sketches ever. Guys, check it out. Don't watch the season, but definitely watch The Slap.
Watch The Slap.
Some of the best Australian comedy. Maybe they were inspired by Brock.
Ooh.
Back to Brock. Okay, something else weird, just like inside tea about Brock and Sheena together, is that Brock's daughter in Australia is named Winter Sky.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Some people say it's not Winter Sky. Some people say it's Bindi Bung. But anyway, no, that's why they named Summer Moon.
Yeah, she says it on the show.
Well, no, it's definitely Winter, but some people say the middle name is Sky. That's debated.
Yeah, because, like, I guess the mom, like, Brock's mom, like, baby mama was upset by them naming their daughter Summer, and Sheena's like, and she got upset about it, but, like, I've always wanted to name my daughter Summer, and then you see the flashback of her saying my favorite
Madison name, Marie Parks Valletta.
It's like, what?
Yeah, they busted her. Also, another pretty ugly rumor, and I'm not sure about this because it's like there's so much that goes into like deciding when your induction will happen, other than, you know, choosing a birthday for the kid, but she did induce on Winter's birthday.
Yes.
So make of that what you will.
Yeah.
So moving on, after this sit down with Lisa, you know, they all go to the table to have dinner, and Lala goes nuts on Brock at the dinner table. She calls him dangerous. Mm-hmm. And Sandoval says, speaking of dangerous, let's talk about the fiance, Lala. Let's talk about Rand. We've all heard like rumors about him. How would you feel if we were like bringing up all of that dirty laundry as on camera too? And Lala flips out again and is like, my fiance is a good motherfucker. I'm a good motherfucker, which we now know, you know, neither of those are true. Sandoval gives a talking head that all the cast has heard bad rumors about Rand. He doesn't say exactly what, but, we have a good, by now we have a good idea of what it would be, which is that he is cheating on her. He's a predator. He's a, you know, abusive
actually
guy.
Broke.
Actually broke. Abusive to his assistants, drug addiction. Like,
did cheat on his ex-wife with Lala.
Yes.
Yeah, has addiction issues, drunk. Yeah. And also Sandoval does say in the confessional, like, he doesn't know why Lala is so upset when, I mean, I understand why she's upset, but Sandoval does say, like, we lied for Randall and Lala for years.
Yeah. It is. I think it is, like, another testament to, like, how the show was just so fucked this season, where it was, like, Did you guys really expect to just deliver hijinks? Like, Lala is the only one getting up off her ass and working. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's to also, I think, deflect from her own situation, right. which seems to be crumbling. But, like, they were all too good of friends. Were they really were not going to get into Brock's shit on camera? They were going to let, like, TMZ report that and not address it in the season? Like, I don't know. I think that's... You know, that we're too friendly at that point. Like, we're not doing our jobs.
Yeah. And like, and maybe also with like Rand, it was also like, we're getting on the private jet and he's taking us places and yes. he's buying things. And like, we yeah. get all the cool stuff and movie premieres and like all of that shit.
Yeah.
You know, what is you know, Brock doing? He's showing up 2 hours early to practice for a pickleball game.
Yeah, and making all of us, like, be models for his failed fitness app.
Oh, my
like,
God.
If anything, you know.
He upsets me on a multitude of levels. First, he's yeah. so mean to Sheena's mom, too. It's just like, you're getting free childcare, which is an amazing thing. Childcare is very expensive. She's yeah. doing night feedings, and you wanted her to do a night feeding on her birthday. What is literally wrong with you? So you could get up and practice for pickleball? I don't think yeah. so.
I mean, and let's just say that Sheena's mom is a real piece of work, which, you know, probably. She's still your mother-in-law, and she's like, show her some respect, especially on camera.
On camera.
Like,
yeah, and that's
he's always dragging her on camera. It's like, she didn't sign up for this. She's just trying to help you, help like with her grandbaby.
Yeah, like, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, still also her grandchild. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't seem to be doing anything too egregious, like as a grandmother, where I would be like, you can't be around the kid.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Sorry. Oh, but what's worse about Rand, I do think Rand is worse because Rand has never changed a diaper.
He's a disgusting, despicable human being with a he's also disgusting. And Lala saying that she got with him because she liked his personality or whatever bullshit is such
bullshit.
Such lies. Lies. Yeah, the lies. The lies. That's Candy Burris.
Yeah, but the smart thing about Sheena has learned her lesson from Shay. We see her on camera getting a fucking prenup, money and houses all in her name. Mm-hmm. She keeps her Roth IRA. Very smart. She's been doing some smart real estate investment. She's keeping her options open. This is now, currently in 2024, she just bought a house in the Valley so she can go to either cast. She's a smart businesswoman.
Yes.
Bad taste in men.
Yeah, she has like a couple homes. I think she has like the condo in Marina, Sheena Marina. And then she's got the house in Palm Springs, which we do see this season. And then she just bought a house in the Valley. So I'm wondering if she's actually going to like, they're going to go to the Valley. Like they're going to move, jump ship.
I think they are.
Please.
Especially like, it seems like, I don't even know what they're going to do with it. I think maybe like, my theory would be, so they've got this Vanderpump villa, and I think that it doesn't look that great from the preview. I think that they'll use it to springboard casting into the next season. They'll make Tom and Tom more kind of like bosses, and they'll, you know, like have their young girlfriends work at the, you know, restaurants. I think that, and I think a lot of the cast will leave. That's kind of what I think.
Yeah, and because on the premiere, Lala and Sheena were both in the premiere of mm-hmm. the Valley. So,
yeah, and I think that it's going to be the better show. So I think that, yeah, and the more experienced cast members they have, the
better. Well, because it makes sense. There's not this like ruse of like the restaurant all tying them together anymore. And...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. They have a lot of work to do if they're going to figure out how to save VPR.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't save this season.
Mm-mm.
So a lot of people talk about also how lazy Brock is, mm-hmm. that like he apparently moved to America for this great opportunity, which is, he says is like starting a fitness app, but you could start that anywhere. Presumably it's the show that he could be on the show with Sheena.
Yeah.
But this just brings me to a broader question. So Katie also gets a lot of shit for like not having a job. Outside of the show this season, do reality TV performers need to have jobs on top of filming their show, promoting it, and influencing? Like, do you view them as lazy if they don't also have another project?
No.
Because, yeah, I like, kind of agree.
Yeah, because, like, honestly, if they did have, like, another job that wasn't extremely flexible, like, you have call times, like, on reality shows. Like, you have to be places, you have to, you know... shit's got to happen. Like, if you're working a 9-to-5, it's just not feasible to be on television. And like, also, like, whatever, like, make the money how you need to make the money. They're still buying million-dollar homes, selling, like, laxative tea on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would never stop your bag.
Yeah, like, even if you shoot 2 months a year, you're still promoting.
Yeah, your job is the show.
And I'm like, so tired of that being a storyline that people buy, like, watchers buy into so much, where they're like, this person's so, like, lazy. It's like, well, their network, like, you don't see, they're probably putting more work into their reality TV show career than people who are also, like, you know, putting money into a restaurant or something like that. Like, it's all bullshit.
It's really so funny. I mean, ugh, Lindsay Hubbard. Okay, we don't have to talk about it.
Oh, my God.
She gets mad at Carl for not having a job.
For not having a job. I know, it's so annoying.
She doesn't have a job.
She doesn't have a job either. Yeah. Like, I think it's just, I think really that fight is about she wants to do more branded content. And he's like, I don't know. I think I want to, like, maybe get another job. And she's like, no. I want us to do branded content together.
And then he gives her, like, I know we're really off of it, but he tells her, like, these are my ideas of what I want to do. I want to do something with, like, you know, addiction or mental health or, like, a sports.
She's like,
you're not doing a brick and mortar. Anyway, sorry. Back to season 9.
Okay, back to,
Sorry, guys. I'm really trying to stay focused. I really, really
am.
It's hard.
Yeah. With so much fun stuff going on.
Yes,
to cover the season, but we'll do it. Okay, so Brock does a quickie proposal on camera with some balloons and shit.
This was wild to me.
Yeah.
This was one of the most insane things. Not the proposal, but we'll get into it later, but this was one of the craziest things I've ever seen on TV. Not the proposal, but when they're at the engagement party.
Yes. So they're at Raquel and James get engaged at the beginning of the season, and that they are at their second engagement party. Mm-hmm. As we always talk about, you have to have two engagement parties when you get engaged.
And this one had to be outside with, like, 12 people because there's still COVID protocols. And
yes. And Brock doesn't really realize the reality TV rules that you have the two engagement parties. He's like, well, why are they having a second engagement party? Marr, I want to let's just get married during their engagement party.
What in the blooming onion is this?
So he tries to arrange a quickie on-camera wedding behind the castle.
Before they even do that, they announce their engagement.
Their engagement, too, at the engagement party.
Yeah, like, you think that he's going to do a toast for James and Raquel, but he's not. They're not even there. They're at a picnic with Lisa. None of this is making sense. But
it doesn't make sense when you watch it, either.
No, so. And then, so Brock stands up, and you think it's going to be about, like, celebrating James and Raquel, and, like, it's so nice that we can all be here together doing that. And then Sheena's like, should I stand up, you know? And so she stands up, and then they announce that they got engaged, but she's like, and you should see the ring, it's so big, it's beautiful, it's perfect, but I didn't want to wear it this weekend because this is all about Raquel and James. But it's not.
No.
I loved it. I did love that. I really did love that.
Yeah. It was they went out with a bang.
Yeah.
And the reunion was a big bang theory.
A big bang theory too.
Because Brock and Sheena are actually still going strong. And at the reunion, Lala admits she has left Rand as she found out he was cheating on her. And then shortly after that, the LA Times article came out about him being a big cokehead predator and abusive boss and Brooke. And we'll get into more of his crimes later after the break.
These girls are having a break.
Okay. Yep. We're back. So we'll get into Raquel and James, the young lover hero couple of the season.
Star-crossed lovers.
Yes. As we mentioned last episode, Stassi and Bo were supposed to be the hero couple this season, and it was supposed to be all about their wedding, but obviously Stassi got shit-canned for being racist. So Raquel and James try to step up, not quite the same, but Raquel has had a makeover. an Ariana makeover, as Michelle calls it, where
the Ariana chop.
The Ariana chop. She really does look great. Like,
she's beautiful. Yeah.
Before, I mean, she was like a pretty girl, but now that she's like finally very styled, very LA, she has shorter hair, she has a different nose, yeah. She's got way cuter clothes. Mm-hmm. Like, she has figured out how to do her makeup. Like, she's mm-hmm. like stunning now.
Yeah.
And James has been sober for a while, but he's in hot water with Lisar for being an asshole to Max for no reason.
He is so mean.
It was crazy. For some reason, like, they're at a restaurant and then
he's calling him fat and stuff. Oh my God.
Yeah, Max wants to split the bill, but like James only had didn't have any of the salad. And so he's like called him fat a bunch of times. He's texting him, telling him he's worthless. He's like ape shit. Like, and then when they talk about it later, like where Lisa's like trying to like give him a chance to apologize to Max, he's like, oh, fuck you, Max. He like goes nuts again. Yeah. Like, is he poked out? What is going on?
I don't know. And Lisa's like reading like the texts of like what James said to Max. And she's like, this is my son, James. And you called him fat and ugly and stupid and a piece of shit, and you know, and James is like, I fail to see the problem. Like, he has no idea why this behavior is so fucked up.
And then it never really like
they're just like
later they show like a flashback. They show a flashback. They're like, and James and Max are fine now. And it's like Lisa talking to Max, and he's like, yeah, me and James are fine now.
Yeah,
flashback forward.
He was on the finale. He was at the engagement mm-hmm. party. I was like, huh? This makes no sense.
I know, it is really sad to see how much like Lisa does not care about Max.
She does. He's just not Pandora.
He's not Pandora, and he's not even James. Like, James is more of the golden child than Max, because James makes her money mm-hmm. with all of his tantrums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, we don't have a lot of time to get into that anyway, because James is going to propose to Raquel, and Sandoval puts a lot of money into this proposal. It's like a $20,000 proposal.
Insane.
To rent a cabin in Lake Tahoe?
And then also because, like, you know that this season they're also trying to fund Shorts and Sandy's. So he's having to take out a home equity loan to pay for the money and towards Schwartz and Sandy's.
It's especially bizarre
also because like he had to get a huge loan from his parents to pay for
his mom had to cash in her 401k.
Wow, it's crazy. And so then for him just to be like $1,000 here, $2,000 here, like paying for the margarita machine, like all the stuff he paid for so James could propose to Raquel and have like Archella, which is weird.
So weird. It's so weird how expensive everything was. But also, like, the more even though now we learn that is very Sandoval behavior to just like give people money to hold over them later, I do think, like, rewatching, I'm like, I really do think he was really trying to impress like Raquel. Like, you can see how
he
much
loves her, especially
he's checking her out this season.
The reunion. Like, yes.
Yeah, like she's like comes back looking so gorgeous mm-hmm. and like such a young LA girl in her 20s.
Yeah.
And I think this was also around the time that right before the most extras started touring, that like there were a lot of Reddit posts about like, I saw Tom Sandoval hooking up with the girl here. And mm-hmm. then of course on tour, he was constantly so I think that like, yeah, he was really, I think this is when like the serial cheating really picked up. And I think he really wanted to had her in his sights even then. And that's why he wanted to impress her.
Yeah. She's like pretty young, giving him attention. He's pushing 40. It's bizarre stuff. Like, he didn't do that for his best friend Schwartz when he proposed to Katie. Like, he didn't do shit. He didn't pay for anything. It's weird.
He didn't even go to Kyle Chan with him to pick up the ring.
I would be like, don't pay for, I wouldn't ask for that. Like, I would be like,
it's bizarre.
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah. So another part of the weekend that he plans is the fashion show we mentioned, the dreaded fashion show, where everybody like wears dumb costumes and strikes poses. Mm-hmm. And Sandoval is definitely checking out Rachel. I think gives her a higher score than Ariana. Katie points out that Sandoval created the fashion show, judged the fashion show, and named himself the winner, which I'm so that is like extremely 7-year-old girl behavior.
Like, yeah, he's a sociopath though.
Like, that's so embarrassing. Like, I don't think that he got enough shit for this. Like, I'm gonna enter myself in the contest. I'm the only judge and I won. Like,
he's
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
All of this whole season is just like just a lot of embarrassing moments, and not in a fun way, like not in a, like, this is funny. It's just kind of cringy and uncomfortable. And then, like, where's the levity? There's very little levity,
but there's a lot of Levis. Rachel Levis,
good one, Lauren. I liked that.
Thank you. And part of her makeover was a nose job. And apparently there's a very suspect story of how the nose job got botched. James hugged her too hard.
He went in for a kiss.
And then his mom said, "Your nose is on the side of your cheek."
Yeah. And then she's telling James, like, "I'm going to have to tell the surgeon what happened." And James is freaking out. He's going to be like, "No one's going to believe that I was just going in for a kiss, love." Like, the implication being that he hit her.
Here's the thing, though. Do you think he did? Because I think she would have gone rogue and told us by now if that's what happened.
I just don't want to speculate. If I have to say, then I'm going to say that he did.
He did. I mean,
I really hate like speculating. I don't want to be like, "Oh, this person is a wife beater or whatever." But like, there's been a lot of allegations about
James. It's not really speculating if like, it's a pattern of behavior.
Yeah.
And like, Kristen has confirmed
it.
Rachel has heavily alluded to it. But I'm like, I guess, yeah. I mean, I guess it is like possibly a litigation,
right? So,
you know,
I
like
will
a slander
say
thing.
It's alleged that maybe he did this. I don't know for sure, and no one has actually come out and confirmed those rumors to be true.
Yeah, I truly don't know. I was interested,
but he was truly, in my opinion, very
worried
that about what the story Rachel was going to tell, Raquel was going to tell, the doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Something else interesting with James and Rachel this season, another misstep, I think, is like suddenly everyone's really good friends with them and buddy-buddy.
Yeah.
I think it might have been more exciting to have like an engagement season where like, I guess they have to be nice to them. Otherwise, there's no way for the cast to go to all of their events. So it is just tough. But I'm like, man, we needed a bully. We needed a Jax or like a Stassi or someone being like horrible to them.
We needed Stassi to be like, "What the fuck is going on?" You know?
Yeah. Yeah. One James moment I really liked was at Lisa's party where Sheena is like really buxom because she's breastfeeding. And he goes to Sheena, like, "Are they pushed up or are they really that big?" And like, she's in like the middle of the Brock fight. And she's like, "No, they're just, you know, they're huge now." And James goes, "Whoa."
He's funny, but
he's
also
funny.
Very, very problematic.
Yes. And that is kind of like the storyline we're flirting with them here without saying.
Flirting.
James gets in a fight with Brock because James says, "I was going to quit smoking weed, but then that girl at Sir got COVID, so I couldn't quit. It was really hard on me." And then Brock is like, "What?" And then James is super mad. He grabs Rachel's wrist and goes, "Come on, Raquel, let's go." And people are like, they really didn't like that he grabbed her wrist. Like, it was aggressive. Also, the fact that we don't see it on camera, but Raquel's nervous about the engagement party because James has fought with her family so much. He insulted Grandma Buttons. He didn't wear the hiking shoes her dad got him for a hike. He called her mom fat. Like, he's insane. Like, it's
not Buttons.
I can't believe he's a human man. Yeah, not my Grandma Buttons.
I know.
And so it's not too shocking when they end up breaking up a couple of days before the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Sandoval and Rachel were already physically or emotionally cheating by the time we get to this reunion? The big question.
I don't think that they were doing anything at that point, but I think that Sandoval was like, she's very much a target at that point, especially at the reunion where Raquel's like, here's the ring back, James. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think that like, I don't think that they were cheating during any of this time, but I think he definitely had her in his sights and he was really, starting to like, you know, get that wandering eye cheater mentality.
Yeah.
Okay, it's time to get into the final plot of the season. Okay, so let's get into Schwartz and Sandy's Something About Her. I'm going to go through fast through this. I'm just going to touch on how much this sucked. Like, it just really exposed how weak Schwartz and Sandy are as cast members because they've been set up as the heroes of the show. And now that the villains are gone, they gave us nothing through this storyline. They, like, are opening up another business. They're talking their wives into mortgaging their houses and putting equity into the business. And like, even it does seem like Ariana is confused about the idea of equity. Like, she's like, oh no, he's just putting his half of the equity up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lisa in a talking head is like, does she not understand they don't take half the house?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that Tom tricked Ariana on this a little bit? Or do you think that like she knew what she was getting into and she didn't want to look like a fool?
I think she was tricked a little bit. I mean, also, like, bad on her for not knowing what a home equity loan is.
Yeah.
But also, mm-hmm. like, I think she still has a lot of trust in Tom. And so she's like, you know, it's an investment for a restaurant that's going to be, like, all his. So that can be just a good thing.
Yeah. And I do kind of get why she would have trust in Tom despite him being awful, just because, like, she's compared to the way that Schwartz treats Katie, especially this season, like, compared to Schwartz, Sandoval absolutely does have Ariana's back. Like, until next season.
Yes.
Like, he looks like a dream man compared to Schwartz.
Schwartz doesn't have a backbone at all. I mean, even just naming Schwartz and Sandy's, he didn't even like the name and never even said anything to Tom about it.
No. And in fact, he sends in Katie to do the dirty
work.
And
she looks like the asshole. And Sandoval freaks out on Katie and is like, me and Schwartz love the name of this. And Schwartz is like in his confessional, like, I don't really like the name of Schwartz and Sandy's.
I was the one who said it was uninspired.
Yeah.
And so then, like, he basically is sending Katie in to be his voice, and Sandoval is getting angrier and angrier at Katie. Also, like, what a fucking baby. What a deeply uncreative person Tom Sandoval is, that he has one idea. One idea for the name. No list. It's like, that's the only idea, and he's so attached to it, he can't stand anyone, like pushing back on it at all. Like, I hate the term narcissist. I think a lot of times it's just immaturity, but it's just like, it's just so narcissistic. He's just such a friggin' baby, dude.
Yeah.
And I think this was the season that, like, I think a lot of people were mad at him after this season for being such a little baby bitch. Like, some people were like, he was just trying to cause drama because it was a rough season. But I do think, like, now he's really proven, no, this is who he is. If someone says, oh, let's consider another idea, he's going to flip out. So Schwartz ends up taking Sandoval's side. When Sandoval says, we want Katie out of the business, because Katie is like, desperate to do something or have something to do because women are so sidelined on this show. She grew up in restaurants. She wants to be part of it. And Schwartz says, nope, Sandoval said you're out, so you're out. And Ariana and Katie, as a retaliatory move, start something about her, the sandwich shop, and get Rand to invest.
So oh my God.
Both businesses in bad shape.
Very bad shape, yeah.
So this sets us up for, Tom and Katie's divorce, Tom and Ariana's breakup. I do want to talk a little bit about Schwartz and Sandy's partner, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
So we see a scene with Greg. He's the business partner. He owns the Oaks, which is like actually a really great coffee place and like sandwich place. And they have all these like, you know, expensive European sodas and meats. It's right across from a really nice Gelson's and in the Franklin Village area. So he went into business with like these Mickey Mouse assholes. And like, I get why Tom and Tom went to him because he actually is like respected. Like, it's like John, I've seen John Hamm in that, like, the Oaks, like famous people go there all the time. So like, why did he open a reality show restaurant when he is humiliated by the scandal and doesn't want anyone to shoot there and like is annoyed with Tom and Tom not knowing anything? Like, I just don't understand at all.
It is confounding. I wonder if it was because how successful Tom Tom was before COVID and everything. Like, they're, you know, even though they're totally inept, they are
legitimate.
Yeah,
Tom.
Like,
Tom
they
is.
Were like the face of the not the show, the face of that like restaurant bar, and it was very successful. I think it is still pretty successful.
It's like the best food of you know, any of the.
But Schwartz,
I guess maybe that's what he thought.
I don't know
was going to happen.
I don't know. Maybe they needed somebody also like Greg just to like reel them in a little bit, like especially like Sandoval and his like insane ideas.
Oh, I get why they needed Greg. I mean, these guys. This freaking motif of them, every time they are planning like their business, they just do drugs. Like for Tom Tom, they just went to Colorado and like smoked a bunch of weed and then were like, oh, we can't put CBD in drinks. That was their research trip and their research like night here. They just do a bunch of shrooms on camera.
Yeah.
And then like, talk like Hunter S. Thompson. And they're like, and that's how we found the theme.
It's
like, what are you talking about? Like,
I will say Greg hates them.
Yes, he does hate them, but it does seem like genuinely, like, he's not doing a Lisa where he's, like intentionally being like, get a load of these idiots.
Yeah.
They make me look smarter.
Yeah.
It's like, he really hates them.
He really hates them.
And is really surprised by how stupid they are. And I'm like, how did you not know? I don't know.
Yeah. Also, I mean, how could he not know? But also, like, I mean, I get it. Like, Sandoval had that, like, cocktail book. And, like, he did work in, like, the service industry for a very long time. And he has Tom and, like, helped with that. And so it's like, okay, well, like, you know, and then maybe Greg thought, like, the publicity of the show will help this place too, so I'll just deal with these fucking idiots. And then they're like actually fucking idiots. And I also think like the whole COVID situation made everything so much worse, so I think it's just a whole bunch of shit happening at once.
Yeah, it was everything all at once, but they decided to open it during COVID. I mean, I can't even get into it too much. Greg is also like a crazy Scientologist, and his wife is like went to jail recently for assaulting Scientology protesters outside of Schwartz
also,
and Sandy's.
Like,
so we can't think too much
about
his.
I also don't think that Schwartz and Sandy's is doing well right now. I was reading something like it's gone undead. Like, they've changed the menu to just a few things, and they've like scaled back the cocktail menu. Like, ever since Scandoval, it hasn't been as popular.
See, but I just don't believe that because, like, I think after Scandoval. Like, it opened pretty much during Scandoval. Mm-hmm. It was, like, in previews or whatever, you know, the few weeks before that. But, no, I went there and it was, like, totally full, why wouldn't it always be totally full? Like, people want to catch a glimpse. Like, I mean, yeah, maybe they're like kind of being, you know,
well, they,
shitty
they
and rowdy,
even
but like
shoot
that's
the
Sir
show there.
Too.
That was Greg's,
well, you know,
that was
they
Greg's
chose
decision.
To. It's just bizarre. Yeah. Like, I do not understand that guy. Like, I would think, like, if you're a trashy restaurateur, which he's not, he's like owns the Oaks, but it's like he just really did not do his research. He needed to be watching seasons 1 through 8 and he would have known what was coming through. Like, it's a real lack of research and foresight on his part. One more discussion question. What do you see for something about her and Schwartz and Sandys in the next 3 years? Do you see something about her ever opening?
No.
I think maybe, but without Ariana and Katie attached.
I think, okay, so you saw those pictures like a month or so ago. Like,
yeah, it looks very closed.
Yeah. Like, everything that they had done is gone.
Yeah. What about Schwartz and Sandys?
I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I do want to go to I do want to go to Tom Tom. I've never been to Tom Tom. I've never been to Sir. I'm sad I never got to go to Villa Blanca or Pump. So I want to go to those two restaurants. Because I hear
I want to go to Tom Tom.
I hear that Tom Tom's actually good. Like, the drinks
I've
are good. The food's actually really mm-hmm. good.
I want to see all the clocks.
I want to see Lisa standing there with the ghost of her husband.
Yeah, she is always there. Oh, she was always at Pump before, but I bet she was always at Tom Tom now. Okay, so let's get into the hot tea of the season that doesn't even happen on the season. And doesn't really happen in season 10 either.
Fofty.
Fofty. So, in addition.
It's not on the show.
So if you want to know all about Rand's crimes, you can look up, you can watch his episode of The Housewife and The Hustler. You can read his LA Times article. He's a bad guy, but also he's a pathetic guy. So he was producing a movie with 50 Cent, and it led to an epic online battle that between seasons 8 and 9 that Rand and Lala wouldn't let them talk about on the show, which is so frustrating. So first 50 Cent shared a since deleted Vanderpump Rules clip. He did not share anyone's clips. He deleted this clip of Lala explaining that she'd met Emmett during the casting for a movie he was producing, asking, you know, basically him being a predator. Mm-hmm. Like, he sent his assistant to ask if she was an actress. He said, go to her IG account. The next day, she got a phone call that says, you've got an audition. And then she let him hit it the first time and they were inseparable, and that he would send her really expensive gifts. All of the, you know, predatory red flag behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And then Decent said, 10 seconds left in the fourth quarter, hoser winning. Do you want a Range Rover? Yes, bitch, yes. Then just go out, run out, and suck a dick. LOL, shake my damn head. Just like Harvey Weinstein. Which, actually, very apt comparison. So then Lala got mad. And then she said, I'm disgusted, on 50 Cent's Instagram. We've set up dinner solo with you, showed you mad love while you were begging Rand to put one of your talentless bitches in a film. And this is how you come for me on the gram? She swears she's a thug from Southside Jamaica, Queens, and she's up in here watching Bravo. This is like cancelable behavior that Lala said this.
I know.
Like, she's... Lala. She said, someone has forgotten where they come from. Coming from me on the gram, I smell fish coming from 50's direction. Jesus Christ.
I know that, but I will always think of that, his text saying, Fofty, like, I'm sorry, Fofty. And also, yes. he sent 50 Cent a picture of him at the hospital, like, where it looks like he's getting a stress test done because Rand is on a treadmill, like, covered in wires, which is, like, what a stress test is to see, like, if your heart is working okay. And
Yes. So that was his response, is posting screenshots from Randall, like, pathetically apologizing because this all started because I think, like, he owed $50 million. And he's like, so he's sending all these apologetic texts, like, Lala's acting all tough while Rand's like, I'm sorry, Fofty. I'm heading to the emergency room. I'm not doing well. Please don't text me. I'm sorry for everything. This is too much for me. I'm hurt. I don't feel good.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, yeah. Fofty. And then, you know, it doesn't end up on camera.
It doesn't end up on camera.
James is the only one that says something about it, and he gets fucking shit on.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
But I just want to say Fifty's response. So then after he posted me, he says, fuck you, Randall. I want all my money by Monday. And then Randall pays him $250,000 towards the loan. And he says, if you don't have it, you can put your Rolls Royce on the truck to New York. The friendship is overrated. You're not going to die before Monday. Go ahead and knock yourself out, LOL. Iconic behavior from Fofty.
God, yes, that guy. I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah, me too. Ugh.
Disgusting. Ugh. The fat man.
The fat man. Fat man who pays your rent. Pays for your Range Rover. Okay, what grade would you give this season, Michelle?
A D.
I give it a C-.
I know.
So motifs for the season were, of course, the shenanigans we talked about, the tides turning for the show. Now the men are flops and they're flopping. Lala carrying the season, which I know that a lot of people are mad at her right now during season 11, but I'm sorry, she's doing a lot of heavy lifting this season too. General incompetence from the Toms, and we're starting to break the fourth wall and realize these people are celebrities. I would say the theme, we haven't done a theme in a while, mm-hmm. but I would say the theme for this season is reality TV, it shouldn't feel so hard. Summer right. should be fun.
It was hard. It was like, and I get it, COVID, hard. I mean, and like, especially yeah. a show that like everything's revolves around restaurants and you can't do anything with these restaurants because of COVID. Mm-hmm. But it's like everything, like even the finale, like I was like, this is the fucking finale. Like the most interesting thing that happened this season was Brock and Sheena plot to maybe get married on the property where James and Raquel's engagement party is going to be, like, so cheap. They don't end up doing it. And then even at this engagement party, Raquel is like, I got the confidence to speak in front of everyone. But James is behind her, like, Cyrano, telling her what to say.
Yeah.
That was actually funny, but.
That was funny. Yeah. But yeah, it was a flop. And this is a big discussion question, I think. How much is it the cast's fault and how much is it production's fault for this flop season?
I mean, production, because they just, I mean.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they fired everyone and then you pick up. I mean, I know it was like a year and a half later, which is also insane. But like, address all the people that are gone. Like, it's mm-hmm. like, even when they sort of flash back to the fired cast, they'd never mention their name, really. They'll just be like, my friend, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's weird.
Like, they're dead.
Yeah.
Alex Baskin can eat my whole ass. Like, I think they really, I mean, they fucked themselves over in season 8. And, like, they did need to clean house because, for, you know, there was a reckoning that behavior is inappropriate. Bravo needed to finally, like, take a stand so this shit would not be as bad as it was. Mm-hmm. Like, all the racism on TV. But, like, they did not set themselves up in any way, the same way they didn't set themselves up at all for season 11. I love this cast. I think they're stars. And I think that, Alex Baskin can eat my whole ass.
The show just doesn't really work anymore. I mean, they obviously had the big jump and interest again, season 10. because of Scandoval, but had that not happened, like, nobody would, I'm not sure I would have watched it, because it's just like...
Yeah, but I mean, I think that they did, they had a miracle, and then they fucked up not getting Raquel back this season. They should have given her anything, Rachel, she wanted to come back, like... And then I think we would have had a season.
Right.
But they didn't. And they flopped. So much of it comes down to casting. That is what my oral exam is going to be about. But, like, it's just so much comes down to casting. And they were not set up with a cast of, like, interesting conflicts this season, unfortunately.
Yeah. And just as a viewer, there was no storyline I found that compelling.
No. No.
Like, Sheena didn't even break a tooth. You know?
I know.
There was no punching. Like, there was only alleged punching.
Yeah. Just flirting with punching. And I don't like it.
Taylor Armstrong, enough.
Enough! Enough! And now we said it.
And now we said
it. All right, Michelle, you ready to get into oral exams?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start. I actually wrote one this time because I felt very passionately.
If it's about the Daily Mail, I'm... leaving.
No, it's not. It's not. Okay, this is my final exam. The time starts now. In this essay, I will prove if you did not watch the first season of Summer House Martha's Vineyard, get your ass onto Peacock right now. It's a 7-episode season. It flies by. It is one of the most fun shows on reality TV. And really, it comes down to great casting, great characters with a clear point of view, people who are existing friends with real connections. We've got the Coopers, our central couple. Jasmine has a wild past, and now she's trying to be a traditional wife for her traditional husband, Silas, who I really gave the benefit of the doubt at first until the last episode. Now I'm pretty sure he's an asshole and kind of controlling. And then all of her hottest fun friends come, and a bunch of his fraternity buddies come, and they're all in a house on Martha's Vineyard. And we've got, like, sexy bombshell firecracker Jordan. We've got needy princess Bria, who's a great character. And then we've got, of course, my girl Shanice, who you could drop into any. She should be on Vanderpump Rules. Drop her into any show. This girl, everyone got mad at her for skinny dipping, and then to punish them all the next day, she flashed them. I mean, come on. Like, talk about a girl who knows what network she's on. Everyone is really great. Everyone's really hot. They immediately are creating their own rules for the show. They banish a guy for taking a dump in someone's toilet without flushing and just kick him out of the cast. It is such a good show. And then season two just started. I'm 15 seconds over time, but I had to tell you about Martha House Summer's Vineyard, one of my favorite shows I've seen in a long time.
I 100% agree. I give that an A+. That show was very entertaining. I wonder if it's coming back. I hope.
They just had the first episode of season two.
Oh, then never mind. I need to check it out. I'm behind.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope it gets a bump from how bopping Summer House regular edition is this season.
That's crazy. I was almost going to do an oral exam about Summer House this season and how it's so much better than Vanderpump Rules, but I think I'm going to pivot.
Okay. Well, you have 60 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that the greatest daytime... I almost said reality TV. The greatest daytime talk show that ever existed was the Rosie O'Donnell Show. It was a show that I watched when I was a kid that got me interested in pop culture. Like, she did all the celebrity interviews, but she also made the show really, like, kid-friendly. She had the Koosh Balls and was always referencing, like, Nickelodeon and Disney, and it was just... It was compelling television when I was a kid. Also, it was so different than any talk show, daytime talk show at the time, because she wasn't, like, interviewing, like, audience members. It wasn't like Sally, Jesse, or Raphael. Like, my 14-year-old is pregnant and snorts Ritalin, which I also did watch a lot of that. She, like, set it up like the Johnny Carson show. Like, I've got a desk and I'm going to interview these people. It was so revolutionary. And I
10 seconds.
Didn't realize it at the time. But when I'm really sad, I think about her interview. I do go back and watch her interview with Barbara Streisand, who is her hero. And after her, let me finish this. After Rosie O'Donnell's mom died of breast cancer, like, she would listen to Barbara Streisand records, which was her mom's favorite and Rosie's favorite. And she would always talk about Barbara Streisand on her show. And she finally got Barbara to be on her show. She had to flip the desk, like, so Barbara could get her good side on TV. and that was the only time she ever did it. But it was, like, the most – it's one of the most sincere – interviews, like just somebody like meeting their idol and their idol being as nice and wonderful as you'd ever hope them to be. And she was crying and I cried, and I will still watch that interview like every time I feel sad because it's just so wholesome.
Oh,
I know that wasn't funny, but I just... No, I really liked that show. And she did a... I know I'm way over time, but there was so much stuff that happened on... By the way, that show was not on a long time. I looked it up. It was only on for 7 seasons.
That was the only talk show I ever watched as a kid, was Rosie, because she made it accessible to kids. Like, why isn't anyone doing that now?
No one's doing it, and I don't care about... I don't even know who's doing talk shows right now. I stopped watching after Wendy Williams' A Tyra Banks Show. But, you know, she was, like, one of the first really famous people to ever very publicly talk about, like, gun control. Because when her show was on was when Columbine happened. And she did an interview. And I remember watching this live as it happened. Like, she interviewed Tom Selleck, who was a member of the NRA at the time. He might still be. And they got in a very heated argument about gun control. And she was really passionate about it.
I remember. And
people still think of that interview. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's just me. But like,
no, I think they do. It was groundbreaking. I think, like, now with TikTok and stuff, she's getting a little more credit for, like, how
it's iconic.
Important she was and influential. And she's still great on Instagram. I love
she's
her.
She's great on Instagram, great on TikTok. And then I think, like, people will still think of, like, oh, like Rosie O'Donnell show, but then with talk show stuff, they still might think, like, The View, which she was great on The View. Very memorable moments on The View, but The View was very different from her actual show. Like, her actual, like, the Rosie O'Donnell show is
her creation.
Yeah, pretty lighthearted most of the time. Yeah. The View, dark.
Very dark.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck, very dark. But boy, that split screen fighting with Elizabeth, I loved it.
Yeah, I like the part where Star wouldn't admit to getting stomach stapling surgery. Yeah. And she's like, just portion control. And then Rosie goes, you liar. You only eat one Oreo because you poop soup.
I listened to the audiobook Women Who Punch, Ladies Who Punch, which was like the inside story of The View. And every single current and former member, cast member, talk show host of The View interviewed for that book, except one. And it was Whoopi. She would not do an interview for the book. Barbara did.
Wow.
Barbara even did. Yeah. Like, it was.
Wow.
It was really good. If you're into anything, if you ever want to know anything like pop culture, because like The View now I don't really watch, but like at the time, especially like late 90s, like early 2000s, like it was such like a phenomenon. And like there was nothing like it either, where it's just
women
talking about politics. You did not see that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry.
No. I love to see this, your other passion, your other, like, kind of, like, a closeted passion for, like,
daytime
like
TV,
talk shows and daytime
Today
TV.
Show. Yeah.
I love getting glimpses of it.
Yeah.
For me, it just always reminds me of being sick as a child.
Oh, like watching that stuff. You know what it is, though? I did not have cable growing up. It wasn't like I could watch The View growing. I mean, I watched the Rosie O'Donnell show came on after I got home, but like in the mornings I would always watch the Today Show. And I used to wish that Matt Lauer and Katie Kirk would get married when I was a little kid.
Didn't we all? Before we knew.
No, because I remember asking my mom to buy me a People magazine it was not People. It was probably like Star, the National Enquirer, like something really shitty. And it was like, Katie tells Matt, I'm in love with you. And it was like, I saw it in like the grocery store checkout line. And I was like, Mom, I have to have this. And she's like, what are you talking about? What is wrong with you? I was like 5. No, I was probably 10. It's like, I need to know. Does Matt love her back? And she's like, what are you talking about?
Did you have any, were you still a fan during the Matt Shenanigans?
No, when he had like this secret, like under.
Love child?
He had a love child? No, I'm talking about he had the
that was the rumor.
The thing under his desk that locked his door. No, I was not.
No. This was before that. Oh. Before people found out that he was a predator, people thought that because he had so much like chemistry with Savannah Guthrie that, and he looks like her kid, that possibly they had a love child together was another wild
okay
rumor.
So it wasn't with Samantha Guthrie though, but I do know who he slept with on the Today Show.
Who?
Natalie Morales. He had an affair.
Oh,
with
that's
Natalie
right.
Morales.
It was Natalie. And then it was after Natalie. That was the rumor. Yeah.
Yeah, and she got kicked to the West Coast to do like Access Hollywood Live or something. She had to leave like news and yeah.
Oh no, she got Juliana.
He was bad guy.
Bad guy.
Depending.
But we're good guys, and you guys are great students, and we love you so much. So please follow us on IG, Bravo_breakdowns, same on TikTok. Tell your friends, if your friend is a Bravo fan, send this podcast to them. Email us, bravobreakdowns@gmail.com, and be sure to watch The Traitors, because we will be covering that. You have 2 weeks left to watch season one, and we've got some really awesome guests lined up for Traitors, people who are actually on the show, so get with it. We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Rate, review. Bye.
Bye.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo breakdowns.